welcome. Thank you for joining us. My name is Chris.
And my name is Tessa.
And this is Pro Wrestling Repackaged, where the squared circle meets the small screen. We are back for a bonus episode, and this will be part one of our discussion of wrestlers on sitcoms. I mean, coming off of Young Rock, I think it's only natural that we explore other times that wrestlers appeared on sitcoms, and not just The Rock, but an assortment of wrestlers. This episode, we'll be taking a look at Vader and Mankind's guest appearances on Boy Meets World, the 90s ABC sitcom. It aired for 7 seasons from 1993 to 2000 as part of the famous TGIF lineup. It is probably one of the more well-known family sitcoms, kid-oriented sitcoms of its time, probably one of the higher-regarded sitcoms coming out of that era, I think, especially coming out of that TGIF lineup. And I think it's a fondly remembered sitcom, and I think these appearances, maybe just Vader's appearances, are pretty well-remembered when you're talking about wrestlers appearing on sitcoms. I mean, there are some clunkers. There's some stuff that it's just like, why? Why even bother? And we'll explore some of that partly on this episode and partly in the next part. But before all of that, Tessa, what are your memories of Boy Meets World? Do you have any memories? What's your experience overall?
Yeah, I mean, Boy Meets World was always a show that was on a lot when I was a kid. I was 5 when it ended, so it's not something I was really watching live. I think I was mostly watching reruns on like ABC Family or something like that. I don't remember. But interestingly enough, when we went back and rewatched these, I have no memory of watching episodes that probably would have been like 1993 to 1995. I remember a lot of the late high school and college episodes, but almost none of the other stuff.
I have a kind of a similar experience with this show. It's not something that I really remember watching live a whole lot. I'm not sure if I ever did actually watch it in real time. I think it's more of a reruns show for me. Right. Although I was very much watching this kind of stuff at the time, I think it was something that I just probably caught in syndication. And yeah, a lot of those later episodes are what I'm more familiar with. In fact, it's always kind of jarring watching an early episode, especially that first season where it has that really like ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, that theme song. It's always a little bit jarring. It's like, wait, what the hell is this? You know, because I'm so used to when this boy meets where. You said that one and the surf rock sounding one.
That one's pretty much the only one I like vividly remember.
I guess that's probably the best one. This show never did settle in on one theme song, though. It's kind of like, I guess it's like how the Cosby Show every season had a different style of its own theme song. But it was still the same song, just in a different style. This show is like, no, we'll just do an entirely new theme song for like every season.
They do not care about consistency.
No, or continuity. And that's confirmed by the creator himself that there was no continuity or consistency on this show, which is, it's pretty funny how, for, you know, all that being said, it's still one of the, I think, best remembered sitcoms of its ilk. And I like this show a lot. I do think it's one of the best sitcoms of the era. And when you're just talking about like a family sitcom, it's always fun to watch. Although there are some times where it just gets really, just very melodramatic, especially when you start to get into really heavy Corey and Topanga relationship stuff. That's always the stuff that just kind of like, oh, okay, we're doing soap opera stuff now. We're, you know.
That's another thing that I did not remember at all. Like when we talk about the episode that Mankind is in, it's really heavy, it's really dramatic, and I don't remember that happening at all. I remember it being a lot more fun.
Yeah, it's a very different show, and I guess really once Corey and Topanga and Sean, once they start to grow up, I guess you can only do the cutesy kid storylines for so long. It's interesting. You have a kid who goes from being such a little pipsqueak with a high voice, and he's shouting all of his dialogue because that's what kid actors did in the 90s. They just shout all their dialogue. And it goes from that into, you know, you see him develop into a man and just grow up before your eyes on screen. So by the end of it, it's like, yeah, it's kind of a totally different thing. But I guess it's great if you have an audience that can grow up with you, then they're kind of right along for the ride. For me, I was always just a bit like, I don't know, give me the sweet spot in the middle where it's like you get some of the drama, but it's still pretty funny and wacky. And of course, you have Corey and Sean always getting into their hijinks, and you have Feeny, who is just a gem of a character, probably the best principal in any sitcom, I would think. I mean, I can't think of any others off the top of my head who would even approach the level of a Mr. Feeny. And for me, the star of the show, Eric Matthews.
Yes.
Just the absolute Will Friedle as Eric Matthews. Just an absolute scene stealer every time he's on the screen. All of my favorite memories of the show, I think, are Eric Matthews scenes.
I think that's why I don't remember the drama, because I think he's just always so funny and he's who I remember the most.
Right. I mean, he also did have, like, I remember one storyline, he had, like, adopted a kid.
Oh.
Like, he did have his own share of kind of melodramatic stuff. But it's a fun show to go back and rewatch, and it is available to stream on Disney Plus. So if you do want to watch along, all seasons are available to stream on Disney Plus. So if you do want to go back and watch it and relive these episodes before, you can pause us right now. Hey, welcome back. So how were those episodes? What did you think? Well, we're about to get into them right now. I mean, first, we should probably just start off with talking about the idea of a wrestler appearing on a sitcom in general. We've touched on this a little bit before. And we did, of course, do the episode of That 70s Show that featured The Rock and the Hardy Boys and Ken Shamrock. So we've talked a little bit about it. But for anyone who hasn't heard that, I guess I'll just start off by saying wrestlers appearing on sitcoms is something that I always think is going to be more fun than it actually is. And I think my opinion has changed because we revisited so many episodes of wrestlers appearing on sitcoms in preparation for this little mini-series that we're doing. You always think that it's something that it really isn't in most cases. I feel like Vader is the one where I'm like, yes, this is a wrestler on a sitcom realized to its potential. But in general, I feel like wrestlers on sitcoms, they get kind of lumped into two categories. Either it's they do the wrestling episode, which really means some amalgam of amateur wrestling and boxing and pro wrestling all mishmashed into one thing. Or it means it's just a wrestler appearing as like this weird fish out of water, look at this giant specimen type of thing. You know, it's the physicality of it and what makes them different that really is playing into the comedy. I think that we see a really good example here when we're just looking at Boy Meets World. I think we see a really good example of a wrestler on a sitcom. And I think we see a really bad example.
I think there's so much potential for wrestlers in sitcoms because I think of wrestling being kind of outrageous and ridiculous at times. So I think it could be a perfect marriage, putting them on sitcoms, which are generally kind of just silly. But so often, like, if they don't have an expanded role, it's just kind of unnecessary and it could have just been anything else.
When we're talking about Vader specifically, because that's where we do start off just chronologically, for his role on the show to play the father of a bully, of course, for those who don't know, Vader plays the father of one of the bullies on the show, Frankie Stakino. Now, Frankie is part of this little clique with the main bully, Griff, who then at some point, I think, disappears and isn't on the show anymore.
I don't remember him existing at all.
And so. Then, so it's Griff, Joey the Rat, who is also on Salute Your Shorts, which is something that I just realized very recently that it's the same guy. And Frankie Stakino. You know, he's when you think about it, Joey the Rat and Frankie are kind of like the Balkan Skull of the East Coast, just in terms of their dynamic, you know, where the silhouettes, if you just looked at them, they kind of match up like that. But Vader plays Frankie's dad. Now, Frankie is portrayed to be kind of from the wrong side of the tracks, coming from a very blue collar family, living in a trailer park, that type of thing. And Vader just so happens to be a big wrestling star who has mentioned throughout the course of these episodes as being a multi-time world champion, which is very funny that he lives well below his means in that case.
Yeah, or it just is a commentary on the wrestling industry at this time where they're not getting paid.
I think it's just more likely the fact that the creator, Michael Jacobs, there's actually a really cool interview with him on WWE.com. And this was around the time of, it was the 20th anniversary of one of Vader's appearances on Boy Meets World. And he flat out just mentions, yeah, it doesn't make sense that they live in a trailer park, but Vader is a big star in the WWF when we get to the third episode, at least. It doesn't make sense, but there was no continuity on the show. I mean, we're talking about a show where they had a character get into like this tragic accident and he's like in a coma. And then I think he's never heard from again on the show.
Right.
He's just completely dropped. So continuity is something that I guess they play very fast and loose with on this show.
Even between the three episodes that Vader's in, I feel like there's a lack of continuity.
Well, right off the bat, just even going by his name.
With that.
Now, his name is supposed to be Francis Dacino Sr., but Mr. Feeney calls him Leslie in his first appearance.
I have an explanation for that. Francis could just be his middle name and Leslie could be his first name, but he just goes by Francis.
Okay, if you want to give them that leeway, I guess.
I'm just saying, it happens.
So yes, Vader not only plays the father of one of Corey's bullies slash friends, I guess.
Like, yeah.
But also one of Feeney's former students and also, I guess, a very active member of the PTA, judging by what Corey's mom says about Vader attending PTA meetings.
Which I love.
Also, the other just continuity thing slash just like it doesn't kind of make sense. Frankie Stacchino is a very Italian-American sounding name. Frankie has this very kind of Italian East Coast accent. Vader does not come across as Italian-American at all.
To that, I say, you are Italian.
Yes, and only because of a decade working in radio do I not speak the way I used to speak as an Italian American from Long Island. I used to sound very different.
Nothing about you screams Italian.
Even 5 years ago, I sounded very different.
Nothing about you screams Italian. He's a guy who's on television. He might have forced that out of his system as well.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, if you're screaming, I guess it doesn't matter if you're screaming in, you know, an Italian-American East Coast accent or not, especially when a lot of your screaming is being done in Japan.
The gimmick of Vader isn't, you know, Italian.
Vader, the name itself, is that not like of German descent?
Probably.
So it's just very interesting. Continuity, not a thing, but hey, it's an ABC TGIF sitcom. We're not expecting, you know, current day standards of continuity and things that, you know, just track from even episode to episode. It was a very different time, and we'll be judging this by very different standards than we judge, say, Young Rock, because there's just not as much meat on this bone here, so to speak. We're not going to break these episodes down the way we break down a Young Rock episode, because there's just not as much to break down. We're just going to be kind of talking overall about what the episode is, what Vader's role is, or later on, what Mankind's role is, and just kind of the performance and just some overall thoughts about the experiment, the weird experiment of just inserting wrestlers into a sitcom, sometimes for no reason. And with that, though, we start off with Vader's first appearance on Boy Meets World. Boy Meets World Season 2, Episode 21, The Thrilla in Phila, which originally aired on May 5th, 1995. So at this point, Vader would have been still in WCW, I believe, but also doing shots in Japan, working for New Japan, working for UWFI. So Vader on national television with WCW and a part of something as wacky as the Dungeon of Doom. So being on a TGIF sitcom, probably not out of the realm of possibility for a guy like Vader at this point. But why don't you give us a little bit of a summary of what happened in this episode, just very briefly.
So at this point, Corey really wants to make a name for himself. And luckily, the wrestling team needs someone his size. So he's really excited. He even gets a jacket, which is super exciting.
And he gets Candy, who comes with the jacket.
He gets Candy. But eventually, he realizes that he doesn't really have to prove anything. And also in this episode, we see kind of the beginning of Corey and Topanga's little relationship. Their mutual interest in each other is revealed for the first time.
Now, before we dive into just kind of the nuts and bolts of this episode, it should be noted that Corey in the show is a wrestling fan. He's mentioned the Ultimate Warrior in the past. I know just from watching old episodes, I remember there being wrestling references other than these appearances in the show.
Well, this is what was interesting to me about this episode, because he doesn't appear when Vader finally shows up. He doesn't appear to recognize him.
Which is also weird, because then that doesn't track to the later episode where he talks about specific matches. I mean, maybe at that point he became a fan. Maybe he wasn't watching WCW.
That's
maybe he was
fair.
A WWF. Maybe it was a WWF household. We don't know. But Corey does appear to be a wrestling fan going into all of this. Now, obviously, Topanga is not a wrestling fan, but in real life, Danielle Fishel is a wrestling fan. In fact, we're going to be talking about Sabrina the Teenage Witch in the next episode, and Melissa Joan Hart is also a bit of a wrestling fan herself. So it's just fun that some of these actors are actually wrestling fans in real life, whether it happened pre or post their wrestler guest appearance experience. It's always fun when you find out things like that.
I think it tracks that they'd be fans because, I mean, they're kids at the height of, like, wrestling's popularity.
Sure,
so,
right.
I mean, look at, like, Freddie Prinze Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Who actually got to work.
Was actually on the writing team.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, exactly. So I guess we'll just talk about Vader and what he's doing here. Because we could talk about this episode, but you're not here for that. You're here for us to talk about wrestlers on sitcoms. Yeah, Corey is recruited onto the wrestling team. His nickname is The Corey. The other thing I love is that he's a super confetti weight, which I love this. And I want a wrestling promotion to use this, to introduce this sort of title, super confetti weight. So yeah, he becomes, you know, a member of the wrestling team. With that comes the attention of a girl named Candy, who's kind of like the wrestling team official valet, I guess, for the super confetti weight weight class. Just before we dive into Vader, my main question is, why wouldn't they pick Sean? He's about the same size as Corey, and at least like looks like he'd be somewhat tough, you know, hair aside.
Well, the idea, I think, is that there's nobody on other teams in this weight class either, so it doesn't really matter who they pick.
Right. So Corey joins the wrestling team, and he has to fight Joey the Rat for the spot on the wrestling team.
Yeah, at first it's just Corey's got the spot. It's no questions, but there's a little issue with the bully group, so they might have to find their own ways. So Joey the Rat decides to take up wrestling.
Yeah. And it's funny, when we talk about wrestling, obviously we're talking about amateur wrestling because this is a high school wrestling team. But when we see Joey the Rat training, quote unquote, first he does the crane kick pose and then he hits this drop kick. So you already are seeing the weird amalgamation of pro wrestling, amateur wrestling. And then, like, later we have, like, almost a boxing ring type of structure set up on amateur wrestling mats, which is always the thing whenever you're talking about wrestlers on a sitcom or a wrestling episode on a sitcom. It's almost, like, 75%, you know, of the time, it's always, like, a boxing ring that they're using.
Well, yeah, and there's just this weird, like, misunderstanding of what professional wrestling is versus what amateur wrestling is. So, like, when Corey first makes the team and he comes home and he's telling his family, his mom's like, wrestling's dangerous. They're like psychotic caged animals. And I'm like, yeah, that explains high school wrestling to a T. That's exactly what that is.
Yeah, sure.
What if he joined the football team? Would you be so disturbed?
Yeah, no, it's it's funny that wrestling can mean two very different things, just depending on, you know, who you are. And you'll have people who join the amateur wrestling team because they want to become pro wrestlers. And it's just a very different thing. And for the kind of wrestling episode, or at least the first attempt at a wrestling episode here, to actually involve a wrestler, and it is this weird amalgam of amateur and pro wrestling, it just like completely sets the tone for wrestlers on sitcoms in general, and the way, you know, what we'll, I think, see in some other episodes, and, you know, kind of what we even saw in that 70s show where it's like, wrestling is this weird sideshow thing, but it's also like people in generic looking amateur wrestling singlets, but also like a boxing ring. And it's that weird kind of mishmash that I find. Yeah, you have writers that don't necessarily understand what pro wrestling is a lot of the time, which makes it funny to watch, but also very frustrating as a wrestling fan. I mean, the third episode where Vader appears, I feel like is like the gratification.
That to me is like the ideal form of like including a wrestler in a sitcom.
Right. Yeah. So Corey and Joey the Rat are going to have this wrestling match, and they put up turnbuckles and ropes around an amateur wrestling mat, and they do the whole pro wrestling presentation, and they even have Robert Goulet.
Yeah, they have celebrities.
As a guest appearance as the ring announcer. You also have Yasmine Bleeth from Baywatch make an appearance, because why not? It's the 90s. Vader also on Baywatch, by the way.
Oh.
And the actress who plays Candy is also an actress from Baywatch.
I just think it's fun that the entire school plus celebrities show up to this unsanctioned match in some random high school gym.
Yes, celebrities including Vader, who comes out with, I believe, the WCW US Championship. Didn't get a real good look at it, but that's what the shape looked like to me, at least. And let's just talk about Vader as Frankie Stakino's dad. I mean, it's pretty great. You know, it's pretty natural. You look at Frankie Stakino and you're like, this guy's a big bully. He looks like a wrestler. His dad's a wrestler.
It makes perfect sense. I think it's perfect casting.
It's very good casting. You know, aside from the few issues that I had with it that I mentioned earlier, it is very good casting. What I like the most about this, though, this role for Vader, is that he's actually integrated into the world of the show rather than showing up as a rando for no reason.
Right.
As we will see later on and in the next episode.
Because he could just be one of those celebrity guest appearances, but no, he has a relationship to the bullies.
Right. So Vader shows up and is intimidating, obviously, because if you're going to have a wrestler in a sitcom, they have to intimidate your main characters. Scares the crap out of Corey, scares the crap out of Sean, throws Eric around, you know, the standard, I think, of what you would expect for having someone like Vader on a sitcom. But, you know, the thing is, this entire episode has been about the amateur wrestling team, and it concludes in a pro wrestling match. It's also just another instance of pro wrestling itself being portrayed as a shoot within the universe of a TV show or a movie, which at this point, I guess it's still kind of a semi-protected business. The veil is still up. We haven't had Vince McMahon come out and say, you don't want good guys versus bad guys. You know, he hasn't done that quite yet.
Well, the pulling back the curtain is kind of referenced in the next episode, Vader's next appearance.
We'll dive into the next episode. Season 3, episode 13, New Friends and Old, original air date, January 19th, 1996. So I believe this is like right around at the time Vader was debuting in WWF or about to debut. So before we dive in, why don't you give us a little bit of a summary of what happens in this episode?
Yeah, so Frankie becomes friends with Corey and Sean at this point because his pal Joey the Rat gets, I think, suspended. So he's trying to turn over a new leaf, but he kind of just gets hurt because the guys are only hanging out with him for their own benefit because he's seen as an enforcer who can get all the little kids to, you know, get scared and give them everything they want.
And, you know, that's something that you can see just based off of knowing who Frankie's dad is, that that is a learned behavior. You know, if he watches his dad on TV or has seen his dad live, he, you know, hey, my dad is a villain. My dad's a heel. I should be a heel. I can scare everyone and get everything that I want. And it's worked out for him so far.
But there is more to Frankie than just that.
Yes. And we see that just like Vader, it's all an act for Frankie. And I love that parallel between Vader and Frankie. And the fact that Corey and Sean have to see past the exterior of Frankie and his villainous exterior, you know, just the fact that he's just so much larger than them and more intimidating and imposing, and have to see past that and actually, over the course of this episode, genuinely become his friend. Frankie also has to learn to see past his dad's exterior and relate to him on a more emotional level. And Vader also has to do that with his son. And that's an arc. That's an actual arc for Vader and the main character that he interacts with.
Yes.
Which is his son.
Which gets majorly explored in the last.
The best part of Vader being on Boy Meets World is that he gets a real arc, which I think is something that you can't really say for other guest appearances from wrestlers. Guest appearances in general on sitcoms don't really get arcs. The only other one I can think of is Billy Zabka on How I Met Your Mother. He's like in multiple episodes of the last season. He gets a little bit of an arc.
He's kind of part of the gang.
Yeah. He was the only reason to watch that last season, if we're being honest. But yeah, so Vader shows up in this episode at the beginning in a meeting with Mr. Feeny.
And at the end.
But we start off at the beginning in his meeting with Mr. Feeny. The best part of this is this gag that Vader's wife and Frankie's mom was standing behind them the whole time in the office. But she's just this tiny little person and just completely overshadowed by them. And she's just standing there at the end, which is a great sight gag, which...
It really makes me wonder what that household is like on a regular basis.
This poor woman.
She probably doesn't get to eat.
But yeah, we get the reveal here that Vader used to be one of Mr. Feeny's students. And Mr. Feeny isn't intimidated by him. Mr. Feeny sees past the Vader exterior, which he actually uses in his everyday life, it appears.
Yes.
And not just when he's coming in at a wrestling match between his son's friend and his son's victim. He's basically just being Vader in his everyday life here in this meeting with Mr. Feeny.
Yeah, he tells Mr. Feeny, as the 11-time champion of the world, I guarantee you my boy will toe the line. So it kind of makes me wonder, again, what's going on in that household? Is he using his wrestling persona to, like, lord over everyone?
I feel like it kind of has to be that way because Frankie doesn't really have a great relationship with him, you know, up until the next episode when they kind of bond for the first time and they have that arc that comes to fruition. So it seems like Vader's being Vader on and off the road. He's living the gimmick. He's not just working the gimmick. He's living the gimmick.
Well, yeah. And like I said, this comes later at the end of this episode when he returns. But, you know, I kind of see them in the first two episodes kind of having a decent relationship.
Do you think so?
I don't think it's bad the way it's portrayed in the last episode with Vader. I mean, maybe it's just because it's not explored, but Frankie seems to kind of have an interest almost in wrestling, at least in that first episode. He seems pretty knowledgeable. He's not the poet we later see him to be.
Right. And that's another one of those continuity things too. I think it's hard too, because the most recent thing that I have seen of this batch of episodes was that third episode where that's the story.
Right.
Frankie is not necessarily into the whole world of wrestling and can't relate to his dad on that front. But early on, I guess he's more okay with it. Maybe it's something that just over time he lost interest and he kind of got a little bit more introspective and deep.
He grew out of it, maybe.
Yeah. And whereas his dad is just all wrestling all the time and that's the only way he can really relate to him. And I think we see in this episode that Vader is, you know, he's Vader all the time, except for the PTA meetings.
Right.
Because Corey's mom says that he doesn't act like this in the PTA meetings. But he's definitely Vader when he storms into the Matthews house in full gear.
Yeah.
And cuts another promo on Corey and then picks up Eric.
What I like is Frankie says, Papa, you don't have to be in character all of the time. Sorry, son, I just get so worked up when I'm defending my belt. So that's where you see this acknowledgement that it's not real.
Yeah,
which gets thrown out the window in the next episode.
Yeah, at this point, his on-off switch is just broken. He's just like, he doesn't know when to dial it down a little bit. And I guess, you know, for a guy, and this is not really part of the lore of Vader in this episode, but I guess for a guy who spends a lot of time doing tours of Japan where he is just the big evil foreigner, the big scary villain that, you know, crowds would actually run from, you know, I guess it's hard to turn that off there. So when you come home, I guess it just makes it, I guess I'm going too deep into this for an episode of Boy Meets World in 1996.
Yeah, especially since Vader here is just so, it's very limited. It's really bare bones on the wrestling stuff. And it kind of frustrates me because there is an opportunity to have more Vader in this episode. Because Frankie invites Corey to his house for the weekend. And I think that could have been prime you know, Vader time.
Right.
But we don't literally see Vader that. Time, yeah, but we don't see that.
And I think that's something that they really do make up for in the next one. Mm-hmm. I think it's, you know, this is kind of a wasted appearance almost.
Yeah.
You know, Vader's performance is still fun, but there's just so little of him. You know, at the very beginning, at the very end, he bookends it, but it's just kind of there. And it's almost like, really, maybe they just didn't have enough time with him. So that's they had fair. To just kind of work around it. But next episode, we definitely get a lot of Vader time. This is really, when you think of Vader on Boy Meets World, this is the one that people go to. And it's not hard to realize why if you've seen it. Boy Meets World, Season 4, Episode 9, 16 Candles and 400 Pound Men. Original air date, November 15th, 1996. What is the summary for this episode?
So here, Frankie wants nothing more than his father's love. And only Corey, a wrestling fan, can help him. And so he has to go with Frankie to a wrestling match while also trying to attend Topanga's 16th birthday party.
First, before we get into that part of it, Corey name drops Psycho Sid in this episode. And this is where he kind of is revealed as a diehard wrestling fan. We also get specific mentions of Jake Roberts, who then we then see later on, Shawn Michaels, and the name, the World Wrestling Federation. It is named in this episode. So I guess this is Boy Meets World Wrestling Federation here. But yeah, Vader's with the WWF at this point. And I think that really helps because now not only can we name other wrestlers, his world feels bigger. His character feels bigger. He's got the mask. Mm-hmm. And we actually see a wrestling event and a wrestling match, which is like, I think this is as good as it gets when you're talking about wrestler guest appearance on sitcoms. I think this is the gold standard this episode because we actually go to a show and we see our main characters involved in that show. Not just like we see some stock footage and then we cut away to these like fake bleachers with you know, the stars of the show
right. Allegedly
at the show. They're actually there.
Yeah. And I mean, this is good because it's not presenting wrestling as some like hokey, silly stuff like that 70s show did when The Rock was in that. It's presenting it as like a serious thing. And right. Vader takes it very seriously, maybe too seriously.
Right.
It's really real to him.
But within that, though, this episode is very much the classic sitcom main character needs to be in two places at once trope. Which it's like whenever I think of this, I just think of like a Three's Company episode, but they call it out to their credit in this episode as with a Flintstones analogy.
Yes.
They constantly reference the Flintstones. So really the meat and potatoes of everything that we are going to talk about here is just the match itself. Immediately you can tell this is, it's 96 WWF and we see Brother Love as the ring announcer, Earl Hebner as the referee. And during the match, we even see shots of Gerald Briscoe at ringside. Brother Love, by the way, doing live commentary on the house mic throughout the entrances and the match, which I guess is, you have to have something that is not accurate, that is not authentic whenever you have one of these, this is what people must think wrestling is, you know, type of things. But this is as close as we get to an actual authentic wrestling show experience on a sitcom.
Yeah. And I mean, it's cool because you get like a real match, you know, they're at ringside. So that's silly. But it's like it seems like it's a real match between Vader and Jake the Snake Roberts for a title shot against Shawn Michaels. So it feels very real.
So there's a quote in that interview on WWE.com with Michael Jacobs, the creator. He says it was at the Arrowhead Pond in Anaheim, California. And the whole crowd looked at these actors from Hollywood and all in unison started chanting, "You suck. Corey sucks. Sean sucks." It was a big challenge in our post-production to get out the chants. So Hollywood became the villain that evening. I love the idea of a 96 WWF crowd just turning on this film shoot for a sitcom.
Well, I'm also like, yeah, they probably would, wouldn't they? Because what do they care about this kid's show?
I mean, this would be way more fun than just your average house show. Wow, they're filming an episode of Boy Meets World.
I like, what's going on? And then you have to listen to Brother Love yelling through the mic the whole time.
That would be where I turn on.
Yeah.
But he did mention that they played along later on, and he says he thinks it was just all in good fun because they cheered when they wanted them to cheer, they booed when they wanted them to boo.
They're just trying to have a good time.
they did boo later on when Corey and Topanga dance in the ring at the end. They did boo later on, which I'm like, wait a minute. Were the crowd even there in that shot? But he mentions in his interview
that
they boo. But it's just, you know, it's pretty cool to see a real WWF ring. I just had WWF like Chris Jericho does. It's pretty cool to see a real WWF ring on a sitcom around this time. Like I said, it's very nostalgic. It's also just fun to see Corey and Sean wearing the merch.
Yeah.
Wearing those awful Vader masks that look
shirts.
Like, it looks like they stretched fruit roll-ups across their faces, and they have the t-shirts too. So that's fun. That's always the image that I have when I think of this episode is them wearing those masks and shirts.
And they have this match airing on TV at Topanga's birthday party.
Which is really the most unbelievable thing in any of these episodes.
Especially because in my mind, I'm still looking at it as a house show. I guess it's supposed to be televised.
Yeah.
But it looks like a house show because it's so like dark and everything. But it's on TV at her birthday party. Why would you do that?
Yeah, why would you have the TV on at a Sweet 16? And why would you have wrestling on? I guess it needs to be that way for the plot to work. But yeah, no, that's pretty funny in and of itself. Also, just like Corey and Sean just walking out with Vader, like it's no big thing. Like you can just do that.
Brother Love talking about them on mic. Like anybody's supposed to know what is happening.
Yeah. Like in real life, wouldn't Bruce Pritchard be like, I don't know who the hell they are, so we're just not going to mention that?
Yeah. Like, I feel like it'd just be,
who are these random kids? Gets on a headset. Hey, Vince, who are the kids? Why are they here? And just the fact that in storyline, Vader, this multi-time world champion, that he needs advice from Corey Matthews.
Well, it starts because Corey tells Frankie to tell him, hey, do the Vader bomb like this.
Corey's advice is, do your finish. Watch out for the other guy's finish. Like,
the most.
Watch out for the DDT. Really? Like, Vader never would have thought of that.
It's not like he's like clever and has some like inside knowledge. He's just saying, don't let that guy's finisher get you. Like, don't let him touch you. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. I mean, I guess for a wrestling fan, you know, it's obvious. For a person who has no idea what's going on, I guess it probably works.
But Vader is the wrestler.
I guess that's what just doesn't work then.
And it's portraying wrestling as being real, where in the last episode, right, it was like, dad, cool it. You know, you don't have to be in character. Now it's like, oh, this is a serious, I don't know what's going on.
Right. And it's, again, just the complete lack of continuity. I'm surprised that Vader was still Frankie's dad by this episode with just how many things have changed from, and this is just from season to season to season. You know, it is funny that and the creator, he calls it out. You know, he says there's no continuity on this show.
At least he acknowledges it.
It doesn't need to be. It's just a fun thing to watch, you know, and if you're just going to watch one of these episodes, I would suggest just watching this one because you get the most wrestling involvement and it's the most fun. It's really the most fun out of any of the episodes we're going to talk about, I think, in this little mini series that we're going to do this episode and next episode. I think, you know, spoiler alert, this one is the best because it's just the quintessential. This is what I think of when I think of a wrestler appearing on a sitcom. It's just fun. And you get your nice little ending. Everything works out with Corey and Topanga, as always.
Of course.
That's just the way it is. And they dance at the end of the ring and almost get killed by Vader doing a Vader salt that he's trying out. He's showing Frankie.
Just fun stuff.
But really the heartwarming conclusion is that Vader and Frankie, their relationship winds up in a good place. And, you know, they're able to bond as father and son, which is what Michael Jacobs really focuses on in this interview. Of course, this is Vader's last appearance. He never appears again. And I don't know if he's mentioned again because I'm not a diehard Boy Meets World fan. I haven't seen every episode. But, you know, I would imagine that going forward, this kind of, at this point, we're past the point of no return with Frankie's character. He's morphed in from, you know, kind of like Bulk and Skull did, from being a bully to an unlikely friend for our heroes, our main characters. So it's nice to see character growth in, you know, a sitcom like this, because a lot of times it's just people remain the same over the course of 7 seasons, unfortunately. But we just looked at a very good example of a wrestler appearing on a sitcom. Now let's look at maybe one of the worst ones. Let's look at Boy Meets World Season 7, Episode 2, For Love in Apartments, air date October 1st, 1999. Very different show, even just from 96.
Yes.
In comparison, it's a very different show. A lot of different main characters, because now they're in college. So it's a lot of Eric's friends as well. It's not just Corey and Robbie. I mean, Sean Hunter. My Cobra Kai fans will get that one. It's not just them anymore and Topanga. It's now you have, you know, more of an expanded cast.
And diverse.
Which is fun. And more diverse too, which is always fun. But Mankind.
Yeah.
He literally barges in.
Yeah.
On this episode. I won't even say a guest appearance. I'll just say he just busts in.
Yeah.
And there's not a whole lot to say about this one.
I think the context of this episode is more interesting than the episode itself.
Well, give us, before we get into all of that, why don't you give us a brief summary, not that it matters, a brief summary of what happened.
Well, first of all, if you watch this episode, it really makes no sense if you didn't watch the previous episode, I assume, because I guess Topanga's parents separate and then she no longer believes in love. And I guess all the couples are forced to break up because of this. You see Corey and Sean going all the way to Pittsburgh to get her parents back together. Doesn't work. We don't care. Doesn't matter. Irrelevant.
This is that melodrama that I was talking about. My eyes almost got stuck. Yeah. I was rolling them so hard
that
during
this
episode.
That is not what we're here for. Apparently, while this drama is going on, the girls and the boys switch apartments or something.
Yeah, they do the Friends episode gimmick.
And the guys aren't happy about this, so the girls say, we're going to challenge you to a wrestling match to decide who gets the place, and it's weird.
Yes. Very, very puzzling as to why you needed a wrestler to appear out of nowhere, unexplained.
Yeah.
Break down the door, just off the hinges, not know where he is, and then just start assaulting Eric Matthews.
Yes.
I mean, I guess if we're talking about the only bit of continuity that tracks regardless of season is that Eric Matthews is going to get assaulted by a wrestler if he's in the episode.
I guess to have this weird wrestling match that isn't really a wrestling match between these people, they need a referee.
Yes, this is a domestic incident.
This is, yeah, this, someone call the cops. This isn't...
Yeah,
no.
So we don't know why he's here or how he's here. None of it is ever explained. I guess it's just kind of a crash TV type we are firmly entrenched in the Attitude Era now, so I guess it just doesn't need to make sense. You know, maybe he just got lost in the middle of a hardcore match and
he doesn't know where he
stumbled
is.
Into this dormitory.
He says, "Where am I?" immediately. It's bizarre. He's really aggressive.
Wearing his Mankind referee shirt that he wore a few times. And he comes in and just referees this fight between the guys and the girls while also just destroying property as well, we should mention. Not only assaulting
He is not a fair referee, first of all.
No. not at all.
The girls technically win, which is weird because there's no three count. There's no submission. They just kind of... get on top of them for a second and declare themselves the winner.
I mean, I think you're expecting a bit too much.
I'm just saying.
You're expecting rules and regulations.
You have a whole referee.
All right, calm down, Jim Ross. Calm down.
They have a whole referee. They're calling this a wrestling match. You wanted to know who wins, if there was a resolution. There technically is.
Really, what we came here for is Mr. Sacco.
Yes.
And Jack, Eric's friend, gets Mr. Sacco at the end of the episode. It's really just the button on the episode when he's hanging out in their dorm room. He's looking at a Backstreet Boys poster.
Oh, yes.
He's talking about which one's the cute one. And then he gives Jack Mr. Sacco. A very underwhelming appearance given how fun Mick Foley would have been if integrated into the show.
Well, the crowd loves it. The crowd goes wild when Mr. Sacco comes out.
Well, because Mankind at this point was one of the biggest stars in wrestling at one of the biggest boom periods in the history of wrestling. Vader was a big star. You know, very huge in Japan.
But he's no Mick Foley.
In 96, pre-WWF run, you know, just, you know, with WCW exposure, not as big of an impact, I feel like, as, you know, if you're able to advertise, we got Mankind on an episode. The fact that this didn't deliver at all,
I will say,
it's underwhelming.
I will say, I think something like that was desperately needed in this episode because it is too dramatic. You needed something just really outlandish, like Mankind just bursting in.
Right.
But it's still dumb.
Mankind at this time, around this time, I mean, like, Mankind is kind of a random character to begin with. I mean, he went from version one Mankind, not Mankind version one, he doesn't like mustard.
We don't have Mankind facts?
Original brand, I wish. Original brown gear Mankind. You know, he goes from that to Dude Love, Cactus Jack, Mankind, switching between the three of them like he's, you know, the Fiend or something. He's kind of a random character, kind of aimless for a while until really the pairing with The Rock.
Right.
Until, you know, they have that feud and then the Rock and Sock connection.
We also just watched the A&E biography of Mick Foley, so.
Right, yeah. But even just from knowing Mankind at this time, he's just kind of a random character. Like, he's hanging out in boiler rooms. He thinks Vince McMahon is his dad. He wants to be part of the corporation. He doesn't want to be part of the corporation. He's feuding with The Rock. He's friends with The Rock. He's Dude Love. He's Mankind. He's Cactus Jack. It just kind of a random period in his, like, a few year period, like 98, 99, around this time. So I guess it's kind of fitting. What I wish would have happened is that the three faces of Foley showed up.
Oh, that would have been
cool. In the episode, just at different times. Because Dude Love could have easily come in and helped Topanga's parents mend the fence.
They couldn't do that. They couldn't do that.
Oh, that would have been so fun.
That would have been fun, but they couldn't do that. This was supposed to be a serious episode.
My biggest takeaway from this episode, by the way, is that Topanga's dad is Milos from Seinfeld. The dude who works at the tennis shop and is really bad at tennis and tries to give his wife to Jerry in some sort of weird sexual barter.
The only thing I could think of with this episode is they drive all the way from, like, Philadelphia or wherever to Pittsburgh just for this, just to try and get the parents back together. Like, please just go home.
I think the bigger, like, head scratcher is that Mick Foley drove from wherever he was to do this.
Well, this is not unusual for Mick Foley, who, when he was training to be a wrestler, was traveling from upstate New York all the way to, like, Freedom, PA or something around Pittsburgh, in the Pittsburgh area.
That's
so
true.
This isn't unusual for him.
He is a prolific commuter. I remember reading his book and just really being like, wow, you did that?
Driving
all that gas?
Yeah. Like, that's a lot of miles.
Yeah. A lot of wear and tear, a lot of gas, but I guess
every weekend coming to Pittsburgh.
I guess it paid off for him.
Yeah, good for him.
But this episode, the only thing worth discussing is what Mick Foley has written in his book about it.
Yeah, so the context of this episode is really interesting because around the same time that this came out, the Parents Television Council was really going after WWF, specifically SmackDown, for being too violent and sexual, which actually led to WWF suing them for defamation. And the PTC actually included Boy Meets World in its list of good television shows. And in Mick's second book, Foley is Good and the Real World is Faker Than Wrestling, he talks about this episode specifically because he was really defensive about wrestling being such a target. And he went back and watched this episode and counted 25 despicable acts of violence on a half-hour sitcom and one that the PTC ranked in their top 10, no less. So he then goes on to ask the executive producer, Bob Tischler, why would you bring me on considering there might be this negative reaction, this negative feedback from the PTC? And Bob just said it was because they liked Mick's character at this time. They wanted to do something wrestling related and knew their audience would enjoy it because they recognized that demographically, he says, we found that the audiences of the two shows were not that different at all.
Wow.
So the PTC loves Boy Meets World, hates wrestling, but the people watching the shows and the people behind the shows are like the same people. They're all wrestling fans.
WWF had a target on its back at this time. really from like when you're going to look from like 97 to early 2000s, especially a big target on its back just in terms of content. And WWE doesn't get the kind of negative publicity that it used to get in those days. But I feel like a lot of that negative publicity also made it more of a hot product to watch,
sure.
You know, because a lot of times people will always check out things for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
If they hear something salacious or they hear something bad or they hear something even like horrific or horrifying, people will want
to... They flock to it.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. it's just a weird, dark part of human nature. So the fact that there's a crossover, though, between the audience watching Boy Meets World at this point and the audience watching WWF, I mean, that's no surprise.
Right.
Especially if, you know, you got to wonder how many fans they hooked with that last Vader appearance. I mean, when you see a spectacle like that, I'm sure that made a lot of wrestling fans.
I also think at this point, this is what, 1999, pretty much everyone is watching wrestling. So
sure.
I don't think it's surprising if there's going to be that like crossover of audiences.
Or if you're not watching wrestling, you're aware of it. You've seen Austin on Regis and Kathy Lee.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen The Rock everywhere. You've seen Mankind on Chef Boyardee commercials.
You're very familiar, if not a fan.
So at this point, it makes sense. It just kind of wish that it actually was good, you know?
Especially because Mick is such an interesting person and can play such diverse characters.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
saying.
There's so much you could have done with him.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, Vader gets a nice little arc. And Mick Foley, who has such a range of characters that he plays just within wrestling, Vader is very one note.
Yeah.
He is what he is. He's the Mastodon. He's Big Van Vader. He's a big guy who yells and beats the crap out of people and is big.
Right.
Mankind is, you know, he's a big guy, you know, bigger at certain points of his career, but that's never really his defining characteristic.
It's the character.
It's his personality.
Yeah.
So the fact that he just comes in is basically just busts through the door and is basically just like, let me wreck your shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that the physicality is the main crux of why he is here. And just because he's, you know, a big star. And with Vader, he actually gets like a character arc. It seems kind of bad. Like, I would think it would be backwards if I had not seen. But, you know, having seen it, like, Vader's arc totally works. And Mankind just busts in for no reason.
I mean, yeah, with Mick Foley, he's so well known for the hardcore aspect of things.
Right.
But there is so much more to all of the characters he's created. So it's just disappointing. I don't think he should have been on this episode that was so surrounded by all this drama. Like, he deserved better.
At least not if he's not going to play into it.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been acceptable. I really love my Dude Love idea.
He could have bust in as Dude Love and been confused. And he busts in as Mankind in the other thing and be confused.
Yeah. And then, like, pay Mr. Turner a visit in the hospital. Him and Yerpal could roll up and pay a visit to Mr. Turner because no one else did, including the writers.
But I think that could just be just a more interesting way to use him so he's consistently throughout the story instead of just, you know, coming in and destroying everything.
Anything would have been better, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's fine, but I think the fact that it's surrounded by this other portion of the episode, it just is weird.
Right. So if you've made it this far into the episode and you haven't watched any of these, strong recommend for the Vader arc, especially the third episode, if you're just going to watch one. Strong not recommend for Mankind. I mean, you can probably just find the clip on YouTube. It's not really worth going out of your way for. Of the episodes from this episode and the next episode that we are going to do, all the episodes that we looked at, that was, I think, the lamest appearance.
Yeah, because
there's another one that is a contender, just in terms of it served no real
lackluster.
Purpose.
Lackluster. Okay, I know what you're talking about.
But we'll get into all that next episode, because we did just Boy Meets World this episode because there were four episodes, you know, with appearances.
A lot to talk about.
For Boy Meets World. Next episode, we are going to be talking about multiple shows with wrestler guest appearances. So if you join us next time, we're going to be discussing The Drew Carey Show.
My favorite.
The Bernie Mac Show. And Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
These are all my shows.
So this is very much your wheelhouse here. But that should be a fun time, too, because not only are we looking at different shows, we are looking at different wrestlers, too. And we can see how they fare and who came off well, who had a good performance, and who was just kind of there. But that'll do it for this bonus episode. Bonus episode is going to probably be longer than a lot of the main content. But thank you for joining us. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to reach out to us, please do. just listen to the little thing at the end. We give you all the handles and the email address and the website. Just reach out to us. Let us know that you're out there, that you're listening, that we didn't just sit in the heat and record this for nothing, that someone is out there. I don't know what I'm saying. It's very hot. I'm sweating. Let's get out of here. So that's it for us. Join us next time for Wrestlers on Sitcoms, Volume 2.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at PWRepackaged and email us at PWRepackaged@gmail.com.
Subscribe on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or your favorite podcast app. And visit PWRepackaged.crd.co for links to everything.
If you'd like to support the show, please consider leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or any other platform that features reviews.
Pro Wrestling Repackaged is a Multitrack Minds production. Visit multitrackminds.com for projects and audio production services by yours truly.